This episode is recorded on Dja Dja Wurrung country, and we want to pay our respects to the original creatives of this land and their elders past, present, and future.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Country Creatives, where me, Reese Hendy, is flying solo. Don't have Caleb in the room. And so I've asked a good mate of mine, Pat Thompson, to step in. Whenever he's around, we always have a great laugh. We've got a bit of a creative history. And in the spirit of people get to learn a little bit more about me and my story, I thought there was no better person than Pat to help co-tell that. We wanted to do a bit of an episode on humour. And I've often wondered when I've been creating this podcast, I have quite a few laughs with Caleb, and it gets me wondering, am I actually funny? Do other people laugh when I'm making a few jokes with Caleb? So come along with me and have a chat with my very good creative friend, Pat. Hey, Pat, how you doing, mate?
Good, thank you, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Oh, yeah. Pretty cool to have you in for an episode while Caleb's having a break, because if Pat and I, we like to talk a little bit of rubbish, and we got a little bit of a language we've developed over the years. Back in the day when we were at uni, I feel like people hanging around with us just couldn't understand what we were saying half the time. You know, when you know someone so well, you talk with them so often, you create your own lingo and innuendo and acronyms that people wouldn't know except for you and that in between that friendship.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was raised by wolves, and I've got the sense of humour to show that. But yeah, I think going back to what you said there about our little language that we seem to have developed over the years, I remember talking with a mate I was living with at the time about the way we communicate, and he said, mate, when I'm around you guys, you just start talking and you get into a bit of a flow, and it's like you're speaking another language.
That's classic. But maybe the reason why we got to that point was we used to have creative sessions, and we're trying to wrap a bit of a creative perspective on this, because I feel like our friendship has grown from the very beginning when we studied graphic design together in year 12. Before you get into answering questions, in the spirit of creative sessions and talking about creativity, I've got a bit of a creative thing to do while we chat, in the spirit of the kind of activities we used to do in the past. And I thought, given that the topic is about humour and creativity, I was wondering if I'm actually funny on the podcast. And I posed that question to myself when I was planning this episode. And there's a couple of things I've got to discuss to figure that out, and I thought you'd be a great person to have in the room to help. But other than your opinion and those of the listeners, I'm going to make a chatterbox. You know those things that expand and you make an option and then you fold and crease and fold. You pick a number and you count it out. You pick another thing, you reveal a flap of the paper and it tells you some kind of profound thing, you know?
And you always feel like you're being stitched up.
Always. So I'm going to make a chatterbox device while we're chatting about creativity and humour in the spirit of creative sessions. And that's why you might hear a bit of noise tapping on the table while I'm working away. And then we'll see if it can definitively say if I'm funny on the podcast or not.
And if I know anything about you, Reese, there is going to be a stitch up in this one as well.
Who's writing the answers? I'll let you write under two of the flaps, and I'll write some under the other two, and we'll
Do I need to know what the questions are going to be?
No, the question, we're posing it early. Oh, okay. Am I funny?
Yeah, okay.
And so you can write what the potential answer I might land on is. In the meantime, I thought we'd just introduce how we got to know each other creatively, and because I think it's a pretty funny story. And yeah, what were your first impressions of me when we first had a class together?
Okay, year 12, I think it was. I don't think we did graphics in year 11 together. No. Was it year 12?
Yeah. Year 12, for sure.
I think for me, I was still in a bit of a phase where it's, yeah, I'm interested in this kind of subject and I'm starting to take it a bit more seriously. But when I get into a classroom full of guys, I just...
Class clown for sure.
Class clown, get distracted and are just more interested in just having a good time, I think. So for me, it was probably, you were always sitting there, I think, doing your work, getting into it. And it'll be interesting to hear your perspective of me, but I imagine it's something along the lines of class clown and probably causing a bit of distraction.
Yeah, there was like six males in this class in year 12. It was a small class with one teacher, and the teacher was just chill. But I remember there was a song you and Shory used to sing it at the top of your lungs. Can't remember the title of it.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Yeah, so they would just sing that together at the top of their lungs for the whole class to bear witness, and it was a good time. It was the backing track to me filling out three full portfolios of sketches and logo ideas and all of the designs that you should have been working on too. So that was a start off, but you did turn 18 before me, and that was very good because we had the same kind of surfy boy haircut vibes going on. Mop, I was hoping for surfy vibes, but it was just moppish really.
Yeah. Yours was more surfy, mine was more moppy.
Anyway, it was close enough that I convinced you to go and get a new license so I could then use yours as a fake ID.
Yep. So we took the trip out to Vic Roads together, got in the 97 Magna, and that was pretty much the start of it, I think, because we hadn't really had all that many actual interactions before that. We'd had a few, I think, at one point, because of all the distractions. Maybe the teacher had sat us in specific spots.
Oh, yeah, and you would have been next to me.
We put the guy that was the biggest distraction next to the guy that probably had the most focus. And I think that worked for me anyway. It might have brought your productivity down. But the ride out to Vic Roads definitely kicked that off, and it only grew from there.
Yeah, definitely did. So that was fun, clubbing on your ID. Anyway, we end up going to uni together, becoming much closer mates, just partying all the time. Had a really good time, but we always had this creative kind of focus, and the centre of discussion was quite often about creativity and design and art and just random ideas. And one of the things that we constructed as a way to hang out, and this was with a few other people who were creative as well, and non-creative, we did creative sessions where we'd literally, all right, come around to my place, we're drinking some beers, we're going to make some stencils and go out and spray them, or we're going to just make some drawing or do something. Like, it just could go in any direction.
I think what worked for that was that even though the people that we were hanging out with might not have been doing a creative course or anything like that, they were still creative people, super malleable to a creative environment.
And, yeah, maybe not visually creative, but to get creative with their humour, and we're always open to have a really good time, which was super fun. I'm sure there's people out there who do this without realising, or they're literally doing it currently because, you know, you're just like catching up and expressing your creative stuff as a group. I still recall all those, not all of them, but just how fond of a memory it is to have done that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, if I do sit down to have a creative session, even by myself now, I think I look back on those times as how I almost want to recreate the mind I was in at those times as well. Mm. So music for me, because I still listen to the same music that we were listening to 10, 15 years ago sometimes, and it will transport me back there. There's certain songs, certain bands. But I think what worked the most for those creative sessions was probably the freedom of expression.
Yeah, that was before we knew what it was to work with clients and stuff too. So you were just making because you felt like making.
Mm. And there was a safety in that whatever you put out, no one was judging you about it, whether there was no right or wrong. It was just whatever you made, everyone got to look at. Oh yeah, that's an interesting perspective on whatever it is that you're doing. And everyone had different perspectives, so you were able to vibe off each other.
Yeah, and it just create discussions from that too, wouldn't it? Open up completely new gateways, and back in uni days, sparking up a joint and just thinking we're getting so profound with our creative revolutions and all these crazy ideas that we're coming up with. But if you look back, if you had recorded our discussions, you would have just probably had a laugh. Like, what are these clowns talking about?
But for us, that was it was a rite of passage, and I think it helped to open my perspective on things.
Yeah, nice one. Anyway, that's a bit of background on where we've come from as creatives. You're a graphic designer now, working at Blunt Agency, getting a bit more stuck into a brand strategy. So that's super cool. How do you facilitate that kind of creative session thing now? Do you still facilitate that for yourself, or do you wish you did more?
That's always the challenge. I think like any, I guess for lack of a better word, superpower, you have to be able to harness it. So first you actually have to be able to generate it, and then you have to actually be able to harness it as well. But to do both of those, you need the right environment and you need a bit of a framework around how to actually apply that as well. It's a long way from having those creative sessions with no boundaries, no time limits back at university. But now when you're at work 9 to 5, creativity is one of those things that's not always there, so you have to find a way to generate it, switch it on, switch it off. But the ways that worked for you back in the past that we've just talked about, they're not applicable to the workplace. It is always a challenge, but you do have to try and find those things that will stimulate you to take you into that mind frame.
So what do you reckon, just to get maybe tie it back to like professional industries, do you have any examples of how you do that?
Yeah, I think off the top of my head, I think something that's important is that freedom to explore, freedom to fail, and also I think the psychological safety as well. It's important. So there's obviously an outcome on the end when it's part of the business or part of the job, but you need to be able to get it wrong in that time to get it right.
Yeah, nice one. So just random change of topic, mate. I don't know if you've noticed that I had a bit more of a podcast voice when I first started recording. I'm sure you don't listen to all of the podcasts, but at the beginning, I had a bit more of a voice that I used to put on.
Yeah, without having gone back and looked for it, I can't actually say that I know exactly what you're talking about. No. I need to hear the contrast.
Hear the comparison.
Right now.
All right, Amy, can you just put on some snippets from the very first episodes where I introduced the episode? Hey, thanks for tuning in to our first ever episode of Country Creatives. This episode is going to overview a few of the things that we're going to look at over the course of this year. And also, you'll get to know a little bit more about myself and Caleb, who are the hosts of Country Creative. Compared to now where I'm just, hey, here we are. Welcome to Country Creatives. It's just a lot more natural. But when I listen back to that, I pretty much laugh, so, oh my God, do I sound like that? Is that my podcast voice? And I mentioned that because I was coming back to the question of am I funny? And my partner Penny, she thought it was very funny that I had an altered voice to record the podcast. And anyway, that's just a bit of a fun fact, mate. You reckon you're putting on a podcast voice now? Or
I'd have no idea. When I told my partner Laura last night that we were coming on and doing an episode about humour and creativity, she said, no one finds you guys funny except yourself.
Yeah, I'm not surprised she would say that, but she's wrong.
That's what I told her.
You got any moments where you reckon you've been funny and just been absolutely shattered?
Oh, look, I've been caught out in the past where I thought, oh, they obviously just didn't hear that because I thought it was that classic of a call. So I said it again, thinking this will get them this time. And the response... yeah, we heard.
Yeah, burn.
It burnt.
It's so subjective at what makes something funny as well. And it's such a tricky tool to use in creativity to like deliberately craft something that is funny, like to write a joke or something. But do you reckon creative people are funnier than non-creative people?
I think creative people have all the ingredients to be the funniest people, I think. I'm not sure whether just because I move in circles with a lot of creative people and a lot of the time they seem to get around my humour, so I just think that they are. But I think comedians are some of the most creative people. And I think some of the ingredients that they actually have or the skills is perception. Like we know of that adage along the lines of the funniest things contain elements of truth. So I think to actually understand that, you have to have a good ability to observe what actually is happening around you, the truth. So you have to know that to actually inject that into the humour if you're trying to achieve that. But you also have to have that perspective as well that's just a little bit different. Mm. I think creatives, that comes hand in hand. And then I think the third ingredient is being able to add a bit of spice or mayo onto it as well to actually just add the humour in at the end.
Yeah, totally. I'd never really thought about it like that before. And connected those. But if you think about the creative challenge of writing a joke to be funny, that's an understanding of what makes people tick on a whole nother level, isn't it? To emote one kind of response.
Yeah. And that's why the true things are the funniest, because most people actually perceive them that way. I heard one time that, and I don't know how true this is, but the reason why those bonbon jokes at Christmas time are so shit is because if you have a joke that's funny, only some people that find it funny will find it funny. Other people might be put off by that if that's not their style of humour, which would create a divide amongst the table, amongst the people who find that funny and not funny. So what they do is they put jokes in there that are lame, that everyone can agree on, that are lame, because then everyone's in agreement and everyone at the table at Christmas is on the same page, rather than ostracising part of the group.
Yeah, and also the style of joke is dagginess, and that everyone agrees that it's daggy.
Everyone's laughing at how bad the joke was.
Yeah, not at the joke itself. Not yeah, at, it's a whole yeah. strategy in there, isn't it?
Psychology, for sure.
It'd be quite fun to make your own, like, fortune cookies or your own bonbon jokes, but make them joke specific about your family or something, or make them daggy but bring your family into it. Oh, mate, your family, I reckon I'd rip a few mad calls on some of the brothers you've got just for a laugh. They're all, there's never a shortage of laughs, I feel like, you would have had growing up with all the boys and Hillary as well.
Absolutely. Humour was something that played a big part in my life growing up. The people that were around all the time, that we had like aunties and uncles, we perceived them as very funny and we still do. And when we get together, the social times, it's a countdown to who rips the first joke, and then it's a matter of who can add the next layer onto that joke and keep everyone laughing for as long as possible. So that's something that we grew up with, and there was all this from us who were younger and influenced by the older people. There was this ambition to be the one providing the laughter next.
Who can sustain that, the biggest laugh?
Yep. Yep. So it was a badge of honour if you could bring the lols to as many people for as long as possible.
I feel like that's still how you operate with humour and joking. And it's quite a good one. It's like the yes and scenario, or yes but done in a certain way where what's already funny, you don't need to change the joke. If someone's having a laugh at something, you don't need to change it. You just need to add to it, tweak it in a certain slightly in a different direction, and open up some new lols in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's how a lot of our humour has developed over the years. And when, as you mentioned, we always get together and have a big laugh, but it's never just one laugh. It's a colossal laugh. It's you throwing a little bit of salt on it and then I throw a bit more, and it's not inventing a new joke, it's just adding to the one that was just made.
Yeah, that's very true. I've never really analysed it like that, to be honest, until now. Hey, I mean, Chatterbox is basically constructed and I put people's names on the outside that are, other than your name and mine, four people who were part of creative sessions while we were going through uni. But I've got to figure out what I put on the inside bit. I was thinking, you pick out a name. So we're using the Chatterbox to just definitively find out if I am funny or get a response from the universe.
Just a bit of history with me and Chatterboxes to throw some perspective onto how good I'm going to be with these. They always, from a young age, blew my mind. I've never been able to figure out how the hell they work.
Really?
Yeah.
Like how to build it?
Yeah.
Oh, I just made one from like a JPEG on Google.
Yeah. I've never looked into it and therefore I don't know.
Yeah, they're very simple, surprisingly. It's like very not complex origami. But so I've got the first layer, and I think how they work is you pick a name and then we fold it each direction for how many letters are in the word. But then we've got to land on the inside somewhere and have another instruction to be picked between, because you land on just a couple and then you've got to pick another direction, a different way to navigate to our
final. Is
there
a question that goes on that first layer?
No, we ask the question.
Yep.
And then we go through the process of discovering. So it's like a magic eight ball.
Was there normally, one, two, three, four, and you pick
it? Was just numbers, wasn't it?
Numbers.
All right, I'm just going to write numbers in there then, because that's easiest.
Yep.
You pick another number, and then that instructs you how many more folds to do, and then you get to the final thing.
And the joke is you picked your own path on this, so now you've got to own whatever's at the end.
I think so.
Yeah.
My first memory of these is in grade six, I reckon. We got someone figured out that this was a thing to do, this Chatterbox, and as a grade sixer,
dangerous.
Oh, so dangerous. Everyone, I don't know how many people have a story about this, but you'd put stuff under there that was inappropriate. I got called to the principal's office and had to explain what was underneath one of the flaps that I'd written.
Oh, and no.
Went to the principal.
Did you start, you're going to have to pick your journey, mate, 1, 2, 3, or 4?
I can't reveal what's under there unless you get it correct.
It's only one way to the end of this,
one
principle.
One by one, yeah. All right, so I've got this chatterbox thing. It's almost sorted. I've got some colours and some numbers. And when you pick one of these, we're going to get to... So what we need to do is also write some answers underneath this. So what do we want it to say once we pick out, once we go through this process, what are the potential answers of... Is Reece funny? How do we want it to answer our questions?
There's yes and no. That's two straight away.
All right, I'll put them in first.
Remains to be seen. A little bit of an eight ball variant on no, highly.
Highly likely. All right, so we need four more. Let's make them a little bit more controversial. Let's try and be funny.
Oh, no.
I know, the pressure of doing that on record.
My go-to is always not politically correct.
Yeah, I know. That's the risk, isn't it?
I'll get cancelled after this.
Yeah, that's what we're both treading so lightly on, saying things that we get cancelled for. But that's the other thing with humour, actually, is that between people who are close and understand each other or know what level each other are at, it can be so risky making jokes these days with anything that could slightly be assumed as politically incorrect or... aimed at someone or a demographic or an audience or something, turn into bullying.
Absolutely. And that's always been actually a challenge. If we go back to the humour that I was raised on, it toes the line at the best of times. There's no line in sight at the worst of times. It's all down to perspective on what you do find funny. And that's where the challenge lies, even if you are being politically correct with your humour, is putting something out there and the person that you're chatting with or whatever it might be, them just actually not finding it funny at all or potentially becoming offended by it.
It's like those moments you stay awake at night and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I actually said that to that person.
Yep. Or even worse is when you know you've said something that could have potentially been taken in the wrong way and you've assumed it has been taken in the wrong way and then you try and backtrack or save it. But they didn't actually take it in the wrong way. They knew you were just being funny, but you've overcooked it.
Are there any stories you can think about that we could banter on that are classic stories about you and I, either of us?
All the ones I can think of off the top of my head are either not appropriate or we will find them funny.
And no one else.
Yeah.
I've got a funny situation that we've been through together. We were at uni, would have been... maybe second year of uni, and we organised with our mate Aaron to go for a road trip up the east coast of Australia, up to Wollongong of all places randomly. And we did want to have some creative sessions on the journey, and we had the swags, we're going to roll out swags just randomly on the beach as we travelled up the coast. The very first stop was Lake's Entrance. We very specifically remember I was wearing a t-shirt that had a whale on it. And it was like this little graphic. It was from, what's that t-shirt company?
Threadless.
Threadless, yeah, the design option. If you remember that or still use it, cool. But they had some sweet t-shirt designs on there, just like real designery
kind graphic, of. Graphic, illustrative.
Yeah, and we walked into the information centre and the lady straight away saw me, saw the t-shirt and goes, oh my God, called out to the lady at the back of the shop, Judy, come and have a look at this, Judy. He's got a whale on his t-shirt.
Oh, it's a whale. We just wanted to know where we go to get a feed.
Yeah. I remember we just walked out laughing that was just a weird little bit of banter and it lives on forever.
Probably not that funny to anybody else, but for us it's something that we...
This is the exact reason why it's hard to share stories and be funny, isn't it? But I think
you had to be there.
You had to be there. And... the other one where you probably wouldn't wanted to be there was we pulled in to go to this little camp spot. We were going to just ditch our swags in the sand near the day visitor area. And then you're not allowed to, but we pulled up, we're having some dinner at the day area and this big blue bus comes smashing around the corner into this little closed court kind of spot. It had a car towed behind it and it was just this monster of a thing, came in at a million miles an hour and... they came straight out. They set a barbecue up on the chairs probably 50 metres away or something.
And they looked loose straight off the bat. The kind of people that you looked at and you thought, yeah, I don't want to be talking to them.
singlets and scruffy haircuts and kind of just a vibe, wasn't it?
And then we're just over there minding our business, and what do? Hey, boys. G'day, boys.
Hey, come over. Come over here. We're like, oh, what do we do? We're just waiting for everyone to bail so we can go, we'll go and see him. So we went over.
With trepidation.
Yeah, it confirmed our suspicions that they were loose units. They're saying what they're doing tonight is they're going to drive all the way up the coast overnight, all the way up to
Queensland.
Yeah, in a one thing trip. They go, oh, you just want a snag? Nah, we'll be right. That's what we're saying.
You want a trip?
Yeah, you want a trip? What do you mean?
What do you mean? What's a trip?
We got some acid on board. Do you want to have a trip? And in hindsight, probably should have said
Probably should have done it. We didn't, though.
It would have been epic. And one of the funniest things this guy said was the bus driver, the guy who's driving, he's like, yeah, go on, grab us a trip, mate. And the guy who's co-passenger goes, oh, mate, you're driving tonight. Do you reckon you should just have a half?
Half? Only do things in fulls or doubles.
That's just been a catchphrase of our life now.
But I've got a question for you, mate, in regards to something that happened on that trip that I don't know if we've spoken about since.
Really?
And a couple of weeks ago I was telling the team in at Blunt about it. So I want to know if you can remember what was going through your head at the time. So we're probably 5 or 6 days into this trip, malnourished, dehydrated, probably just not really knowing what our normal day looks like anymore. And I think it was raining, and we wanted to go on an adventure, but it was raining. But we found somewhere where we could just go off the beaten track, go for a bit of a walk, bit of a hike, probably in thongs, boardies, singlet. We found this nice piece of bush. We're just walking through it. We've all got sticks in our hands, clearing some grass out.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. We're trekking out to some pinnacle, some lookout point or something.
Yep. And I don't know what was going through my head, but I saw this branch hanging down in front of me, and I had this big stick in my hand. So I've just big back swing. I used to play baseball when I was younger. Just gave it the full home run hit, trying to break this stick in front of me, but... I just hit Reese straight across the back, just thumped you.
Yeah, I remember that.
First of all, I want to say, mate, I'm sorry. That was a hell of a hit that I gave you that day. But second, I want to know what was going through your mind when you just copped this random big hit to the back.
Just absolute confusion. And I would have been so salty for the rest of the day on that, for sure.
I can remember the look on your face that you gave me when you turned around.
Just disgust. Oh, I'd completely forgotten about that. I also very distinctly remember one of our first times you told me about your family and your background. We were walking down the street, probably having a beer, cruising along, and you told me this story for half an hour, 45 minutes. And it just went on and on about all this different stuff that's gone on in your life and how it's made you feel and turn into this person now. And 45 minutes in, I was just captivated. I was like, whoa. Took me on the journey just to go at the end, like, casually. Yeah, I just made all of that up, mate.
I can't even remember what I said.
Nah, me either. But now, from then on, I always knew, hold on. Is this bloke telling me a joke, or is he being legit?
Take it with a grain of salt.
Anyway, so I've got this chatterbox is ready to go, and we've got to wrap up because you've got to get back to work. So I've added a few more options in here. We've got mostly inappropriate, remains to be seen, not a chance, highly unlikely. Maybe we could add two more. Come on, what do we say? More than people appreciate.
Well, I like that. Maybe the last one would be had to be there.
Had to be there. I like that. All right. I'm going to start. That means you do the thing. I'll pick out the questions on the front. So I'm going to pick a name off the list of someone that we've been in a creative session. Definitively, is Reese funny? I'm going to go through the process. You've got to put two fingers under each side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one, that's two. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pick Lucas. So you got to do open and close for each letter of the name. Change ways.
L-U-C-A. Yes.
What's inside there?
We've got a 2, a 4, an orange, and a blue.
I'll go with orange because it's my favourite colour.
O-R-A-N-G-E.
Same again?
No, we've got a 3, a 5, a black, and a green.
I might go for the 3, mate. Open her up.
Remains to be seen.
All right, give it out. We're going to check if you're funny here too, mate. You can't pick that one, so that's not too bad. Who are we going with off the list of people who've been in creative sessions? We've got Bella, Tomo, Lucas or Zoe?
I'm going with Tomo.
Tomo. T-O-M-O. Favourite colour between green and black?
Let's go black.
B-L-A-C-K. All right. 4 or 2?
4.
Yes. Definitive yes there, mate. So well done. All right.
Thanks for having me in here, mate.
Yeah, no, it's been fun, mate. I am looking forward to many more laughs in future and hopefully get you in to have a chat about some actual creative professional stuff in the near future.
Sounds great.
Thanks, as always, for tuning in to Country Creatives Podcast. It's a podcast from the creative minds of Reece Hendy and Caleb Maxwell. Perhaps you've got your own opinion on whether Reece Hendy is in fact funny. I can attest that he is actually very amusing. But maybe you think otherwise, maybe you want to agree, maybe you've got some suggestions. Hit us up on Instagram, send a message or comment on one of the posts, or visit us and use the contact form at countrycreatives.com.au. We'll have a brand new episode for you in 2 weeks' time. If you want to make sure that you don't miss out, please subscribe or like us on your favourite podcasting platform. Until then, stay super creative, make lots of jokes, share them, laugh, be well. See you later. We'll be right back.